Today we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Live as you are called. Real people with real problems. Live as you are called. Would you stand with me as we read and seek to hear from God through His Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 17 says, "But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain or command in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. Live as you are called. Now, what we're doing here, Paul is answering questions that had been posed to him at an earlier time. And I just call your attention just for a second back to verse 1 where Paul said, "Now concerning the things which you wrote to me." The things that's referring to, they had written to Paul to find out questions about how Christianity could be applied in their life. This being a Christian to them, you know, the things that you and I take for granted was very new to them. And so they had all these questions about, can I serve the Lord where I am? For example, in the verses just prior to this, he was answering their question of marriage. And in marriage, they were asking the question, if a believer was married to an unbeliever, did that believer need to divorce the unbeliever so they could be a Christian? And Paul, of course, said, no, that's not the idea there. And even in the text that we read, those who were Gentiles, you know, they were saying, do we need to become a Jew to be a Christian? And the idea there, that was why he said, are you circumcised or uncircumcised? You know, the idea was a Gentile becoming a Jew. But even for the Jews, as Paul says, circumcision means nothing. The Jews are going to have this mentality of, well, maybe we need to become like the Gentiles. And Paul's whole point here in the scriptures that we read is no. Just stop. Look where you are and know you are where you are for a reason. God has given you abilities. Abilities that come from God Himself. That's what he meant in the first part of the text, verse 17, that we read. As God has distributed. That word distributed means to assign, apportion, or divide. And it gives this idea that you're special. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm special. You didn't sound very convincing. As a matter of fact, that was pitiful. You are special. Not of yourself, but of God. You see, God designed you. And that's why I chose this word design, because I want you to understand you were not just thrown together. You're not an accident that crawled out of the slime. You're not something that has evolved through billions of years. You were created and designed by God Himself for a specific purpose. For example, You know, we're in the building program. And boy, I'm excited to the folks at Victory. Oh, stick with your giving. God has blessed. My goodness, we were up over 300,000 in just a very few short months. And God continues to bless, and we're moving in a good direction. So I want to encourage you. I would first of all say thank you for giving and being faithful to the Lord. But I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, okay? Keep it up. We're moving forward. I'll tell you what, I passed by the nursery this morning a couple of times, and they need that space pretty quick, okay? They need that space. But back to the message. When we met for the first time with the architect on this building program, we sat down. You know what he did? That architect said, okay, tell me what you need. So we backed up and we said, well, we'd like this and that and the nursery and room for children. And we went down a list and said, those things that the church really needs to address right now. And he took our list and he left and he went and did some planning. And then he come back and said, okay, I took what you need and here's what I've got, you know. And I found that very neat in that we're not just throwing together a building. Everything has a purpose and a plan. Well, I want you to understand you're not just thrown together, that you were created and designed by the architect of the universe, if you will. He knew everything that you were going to need in your life, and he could have made you anything that he wanted to make you. He could have made you an outstanding musician. Have you ever thought, boy, I wish I could sing like someone else, or I wish I could play an instrument like someone else? God could have given you that. And for some in this congregation, he did. For others, he did not. God could have given you a mind like a steel trap, a photographic memory. Some of you say, I have a mind like a steel trap. It's rusty and it don't work anymore, right? But he could have given you a photographic memory so that you could, everything you read and everything you see could just be burned and etched into your mind. Boy, I wish, I'll be honest with you, I wish I had that. I would be a lot better in the scripture if I did. But he could have given you athletic ability, could have made you a financial genius. He could have, and you go on down, you can go on the list. But you know what? He made you you. And you know why he made you you? Because he had a purpose, a plan for your life. And he knew what you would need at each stage in your life. I love Psalms chapter 139 verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I hear people say this all the time, but I don't think we take it to heart. I'm fearfully made, meaning you step back and you look at yourself and say, wow, Lord, you knew what you were doing. Not being full of yourself, mind you. Boy, God, you really did good here. But really at the same time, having that mindset of, God, you really did do good. You knew what I would need. You knew when I would need it. And you equipped me to do what you placed me on this earth to do. Lord, I stand in awe of your ability and of your knowledge. You're fearfully and wonderfully. That word wonderfully means literally to be distinct or set apart. There's only one you. Do you know that? There's only one you. And then at the end, I love that. And marvelous are your works. God knew what he was doing. Listen, my friends, first point, I want you to understand that God did not make a mistake. He did not throw you together. He designed you with a very specific purpose in mind. And then he called you. He directed you. Second thing he said in verse 17, as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one. As the Lord has called each one. Many don't understand why they're here. Why are you here? And I invite you to ask yourself that question. What am I doing here? If God created me for a purpose, then Lord, what is it? I can't tell you what it's not. You're not here to get a good job, climb the corporate ladder, and retire at age 65. That's not God's design for your life. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Nothing wrong with having a good job. Is there anything wrong with retiring? No. Nothing wrong with retiring. Okay? But that's not your purpose in life. You were created for much bigger things. God has placed you where you are and equipped you so that you could answer the call and do great work for the kingdom of God. Most people don't get that. Most people don't think of themselves as, I'm here to do ministry work. They think, because I'm not a missionary to Romania, I'm not that important. No, I'm glad everybody's not missionaries to Romania, aren't you? Everybody can't be missionaries to Africa. Everybody can't be pastors. Everybody can't be deacons. But everybody can be servants of the living God. Everybody. You're here to serve. You've been equipped. You have been called. And there are no unimportant callings. Okay? And you have to be devoted. He said, are there any circumcised? He's talking to the Jews there. Let them not become uncircumcised. You see, the question would have been for the Jews. And I didn't realize this till I took a look at this time. They had a surgical procedure that would reverse or cover up circumcision. I didn't know that until I was studying this passage. But the reason they had that procedure is because the Gentiles viewed that as mutilation. Okay? And they just weren't accepting. And so as Paul backs up and tells them, look, circumcision means nothing. They're going to back up and say, okay, do I need to undo this? Paul's saying, no. And the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, they're going to say, well, I know salvation is through the Jews, and to serve God and become a Christian, do I need to become circumcised? Paul says, no. No. Paul said, all those things don't matter. He says, what does matter is keeping the commandments of God. Doing what God has called you to do, putting your faith into practice day by day, every day that you live. You know? Are you a Christian that when you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, I present myself to you. Use me as it pleases you for your honor and for your glory? Or, when you leave church on Sundays, do you not think about it until next Sunday? You see, if that's your mentality, you're not fulfilling your call. Because I feel confident that God desires for you a deeper relationship than one day a week. Yeah? Paul's saying, those religious things don't matter. You know, you may say, I'm good because I go to church and my name's on the church membership roll. Is that what God has placed you here for? Seems kind of shallow. I'm good because I don't smoke, drink, and cuss. Well, I pat you on the back. It's really good that you don't smoke, drink, and cuss. But that's not why God put you on this earth, not to smoke, drink, and cuss, right? It's deeper than that. You're not here for the things that you don't do. You're here to answer God's call. Now, I want to ask you, what call has God made on your life? You say, brother, I have no idea. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Before you say, I have no idea, I want you to look at your life. Look at your life. Where are you? Where are you? Who are you surrounded with? Oh, Brother Doug, I'm surrounded by a bunch of heathens that I work with. Glory to God, the fields are white unto harvest. Huh? You see, it's all, I mean, most people don't view it like that. It's, man, these people, I don't like these people I work with. You want me to tell you how to love everybody you work with? Get them saved. Then you got to love them because God says so, right? Share the gospel. God has you where you are for a specific reason. You are the one that God didn't place me where you work. God didn't place me to be the father of your family and your children. He placed you there. And you know why? Because He equipped you with what you needed to be the father, the husband, the worker, the daily child of God answering God's call that only you can do. You know what I've discovered? A lot of people give preachers a lot of credit. Think a lot of things are preachers' jobs. You know, it's your job to witness. It's your job to visit. No, it's not. No, sir. It's our job. It's our job. But what I have discovered is there are a lot of people that I will not reach, that I cannot reach, because they don't want to talk to a preacher. They just kind of look at the preacher and, yeah, you know. In fact, yeah, he's a preacher. He's supposed to be that way. He has to be that way. And they don't want to talk to a preacher. You know who they want to talk to? They want to talk to their co-worker that they see every day. They want to talk to that person that's in their family they see every day that they trust. That's who they want to talk to. And guess who that is? That's you. God has placed you. I want you to just see. God has placed you where you are. You answer God's call and be devoted to God's call. Do what He's placed you here to do. Have the mentality, wherever God, wherever you lead, I'll go. Is that your mentality? It's not where you are, it's are you willing to go where God leads you? Because I'll be honest with you, most of us are already there. Okay? Most of us are already there. Your God-given ability leads to your God-given opportunities. Oh, he said, are some of you slaves? I find it interesting that he chose the lowest of the low to bring out here. Are some of you slaves? And a slave would have said, oh boy, if I just wasn't a slave, I could be so much better for the glory of God. No. No. Paul said, if you're a slave, you can serve the Lord right where you are. Mind you, if you can be free, be free. If not, then be a Christian as a child of God and a slave. Now, I think as children of God, we've got to be more deliberate in our call. Don't you? I mean, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift. It didn't say as they have received a gift or as they have received a gift. It says now as each one has received a gift. That's you. That's me. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let me ask you a question. What's your position in church? Are you active in church? Yeah? We do. Poor old Michael. I love him, but bless his heart. Every year he has a nightmare trying to get people in different positions, right? And he'll come to me and say, we've got these classes and we've only got 3 volunteers to fill 15 children's Sunday school classes. And you know what I do? I pat him on the back and say, brother, I'm praying for you. I think that's funny, but that's about what I do. Why? Because I can't twist people's arm. I can't make them say, yes, I'll serve. Lord, I'll go where you lead. Lord, I'll teach that class. Lord, I'll serve as that deacon. Lord, I'll minister to that hurting family. That's the concept here. You're called. Some of you are good at being ministers and encouraging other people. Some are good at cooking. I like those who are called to the ministry of cooking. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen. And when there's a death in a family, and you know, boy, they get together and they work. Oh, God bless you. It's good. It's good. What I'm saying, God has given you a gift. Maybe it's not teaching. Maybe it's cooking. Maybe it's not cooking. Maybe it's just visiting and encouraging the downhearted. Maybe that's not it. Whatever it is, God has given you something. Do not back up and excuse yourself and say, "Oh, I can't do anything." That's a cop-out. I do not accept that God gave you no ability. I do not. Okay? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. That means pleasing God as good stewards of what God has given. Now, the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. God knew what He was doing when He made you. You are special. Now, be special. Use what God has given to bless others. The fields are wide at the harvest. Serve where you are. You are called. You are called. Then let's talk about your commitment. Let each one remain. That last verse. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Literally, each in which he's called in this remain alongside God. I want to tell you, there's nothing more rewarding than knowing you're where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. Okay? When you're not making excuses, you're not coming up with a why you can't, when you're just doing what God called you to do. That is very satisfying as a child of God. I've discovered? God called me to preach. You say, "Well, duh. I hope so. You do it every week." But you know what's cool about that? God has called me to preach the gospel, and my call has not changed. It hasn't. I mean, where I've served has changed in that, you know, I've pastored 4 different churches, different sizes, churches from 30 to 400 and something, and different stages in my life. But my calling has not changed. And I found that in each of those cases, I was preaching the gospel. I do not know what the future may hold. You know, I'm just super excited. I'm at Victory. If God leaves me here for the next 50 years, I'm ready to do, you know, to jump up and down and say, "Yeehaw," you know. I don't know what God's going to do in the future, in my future, where I'll be 10, 20, 30 years from now. I don't know. But you know what I know? I'll still be called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll have that responsibility that no matter where I am, that's my call. And that's my responsibility to fulfill. Do you know, God doesn't uncall preachers. You knew that, right? Our station in life may change, and we may get to that point we can't pastor churches, but we never get to that point where we can't preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. Now I want to share something even deeper than that. Your call doesn't change. Where you're using your abilities may change. The way you're using your abilities may change. But your commitment to God to carry out your call upon this earth never changes. Should never change. I love this. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You said, and I know this was written to Jeremiah, but do you see the beauty here? God is speaking, and He's speaking to Jeremiah, and He says, "Listen, guy, I want you to understand, before I formed you, put you together in your mother's womb, I knew you." Now, when He says that, He's saying, I knew who you were, I knew who you were going to be, I knew the ministry that I had for you in your life, I knew the abilities that you would need. I knew everything about you before I even put you together. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Sanctified, set apart. Before you were born, I had your life planned out. You were set apart. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Do you see the beauty in that? I mean, I know this was written specifically to Jeremiah, but I do not think it's limited specifically to Jeremiah. The same God that formed Jeremiah formed you and formed me. And before we were conceived, God knew who we were, what we needed, and He had a plan for our lives. Isn't that cool? And He gave us what we needed so that we could serve Him faithfully throughout our entire life. You know, I find it very sad that we're very hit and miss as children of God. By hit and miss, I mean one day we're serving and tomorrow we get, we can stand and we quit. Then we decide we're going to go back and we're going to serve some more until somebody makes us angry, then we quit. Up and down. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? God calls for a lifetime. Yes. Yes, you may need to back up and take a break on occasion. I tell you, I take vacations every so often, and it's because you need to back up. Need to clear your head. But you know what I've discovered about vacations? I'll miss that one Sunday, and I really appreciate the folks that fill in when I'm gone. But on that Sunday, I'm thinking, I wonder what Sunday school attendance was. Come preaching time, I wonder what Brother Greg's preaching on. I know he's doing a good job, but and the first thing you know, by the end of that day, I'm ready to come back and preach again. You know? Why? Because that's my call. I want you to see in this message today, yes, preachers are different. I understand that. But God's call is the same for everyone. I want you to have that desire, that burning desire, not to settle for mediocre or lukewarm Christianity. Showing up for Sunday and then not worrying about God from then on till the next Sunday. And listen, God may not set you in this church to be a deacon or to be a minister or a Sunday school teacher. But I want to tell you what. Tell you this. God has set you here for a reason. Why are you here? I'll even go beyond and outside this church. You're where you are for a reason. You know the people you know for a reason. God has placed you in that job, in school, in classes, for a reason. What are you doing about it? Brother Doug, I don't quite understand. Well, let me get you started. I'm glad you asked. I'm ready to get you started. Are you ready to get started? All right. What am I supposed to do? Okay. Number one, you have a commission. We call it a Great Commission. You know what that Great Commission says? Matthew 28:19-20 says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. Put it in our language. He says, go make disciples. Okay? That's why you're here. You're here to make disciples, to win people to Jesus Christ. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I get nervous when I talk to people. Oh, get over it. Come on. Come on. The truth is, you get nervous when you talk to people about Jesus. That should not be. You know why you get nervous when you talk to people about Jesus? Because you don't talk to people about Jesus nearly enough. Okay? And I'm not telling you to be this religious fanatic that shakes your finger in everybody's face. If you don't repent, you're going to split hell wide open. That's not what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, you'll run them off instead of winning them that way. But show them the love of Jesus. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Let them see through your life what Jesus looks like. That's why you're here. Last question in close. Do you know Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus? If you don't, if you've never made that life commitment, well, God has you here for a reason today, and that reason is to share with you that there is good news, that you do not have to spend eternity in hell, but rather that God gave His only Son, His name was Jesus, to come to this earth and live a sinless life. He said, Brother Doug, nobody's ever been sinless. You're wrong. Jesus had. Jesus did. He never made a mistake. He never had sin. But He took my sin. My sin. And see, that's where it gets personal. See, yeah, Jesus didn't sin, but I'll tell you who did. Doug Hambrick did. And Doug Hambrick has had plenty of sin in his life. Sin that has separated me from God. The only way to deal with that sin was to pay for it. To take the punishment of the sin. That's what Jesus did for me. When we say Jesus died for my sins, you see, we use that so casually. Sometimes I fear that it loses its meaning. And we got to get personal with that. Jesus, yes, He died for my sin. But I want you to understand, He took my sin upon Himself. And He paid for my sin. So that I could call upon Jesus and ask for His salvation. See, that's what the Bible says. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you belong to Jesus? If you were to die right now, okay, and can you say with assurance, I'll go to heaven? If you cannot, please, as we have this invitation, will you come forward and let me share with you how to trust in Jesus? Or maybe you understand it. You say, Brother Doug, I understand it. It's a life commitment. And it is a life commitment. Here's what you do. Right where you are, bow your head. Ask Jesus to save you, knowing that He is the Son of God who gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And the good news is He died and He rose from the grave. Today, seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for your prayer. You can be saved today. This preacher won't save you. I wish I could, but see, Jesus did it for you. Therefore, you have to deal with Jesus concerning the matter. You're a prayer away from salvation. It's up to you. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your word and for the reminder. Lord, your call is precious. You've made us what we are. You have equipped us so that we may serve you. May we be faithful. Lord, I pray for the lost that are in this service who do not know you. Lord, I pray that they would experience the love. And maybe they've been hurt by Christians before, and Christians have turned them off. And Lord, I pray that they'd feel your love right now. And they'd experience your conviction. And that you'd place that desire within their heart and cause them to call upon you for salvation. Lord, we know there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. So today, I pray that they would call upon Jesus. I pray your will be done in Jesus' name.